You're listening to audio from North Monroe Baptist Church. To find out more about the church or donate to this ministry, visit northmonroe.com.
I am super excited about these 11 new men as well as the others that are coming on to be deacons. Before I get started, let me remind you that the church has an app, the North Monroe app. And on that app, if you go to it, you can eventually find the sermon notes that are used every week and the fill in the blank. You can fill those in. You can actually save it to your phone. You can keep up with the teaching and what we do here. Also, if you click on the Bible, it will take you right to the biblical passage that I'm going to address every week. And it's just a great opportunity to keep up. If you don't have the North Monroe app, go get one, okay? We're talking about deacons today. And when you use the word deacon, of course, there are ideas about deacons that are all over the page. For some people, a deacon is somebody that's just next to Jesus. For other people, a deacon is maybe something completely different than that. And depending on where you go in churches, deacons function in a variety of different ways. For example, in some churches, the deacons function in a way as if they were, the U.S. government. And the idea behind that is that the deacons are like Congress and the judicial branch, the Supreme Court, and the pastor's a bit like the president. And so their job is to make the rules and to interpret the rules, and it's the pastor's job to enforce the rules, and it's their job to enforce the pastor. And that's the way a lot of churches work. They set their structure up something similar to the American government. In other churches, the deacon board works like a corporate board of directors, and the pastor's kind of like, I don't know, the COO or the president, and their job is to keep an eye on the bottom line, make sure the pastor keeps everything right. In other churches, the deacons serve a bit like a foundation trustee. You know what I'm saying? It's as if the church were a museum and the pastor's the curator and the trustees have to ensure that nothing gets changed, right? And so those are the various ways that deacons serve. In almost all ways, that creates a built-in tension between pastoral leadership and deacons, and everybody just begins to embrace that and gets used to that and comfortable with that, even though there is this constant sort of undercurrent of distrust and hostility as a result of that. That is not the biblical model. And what we're always approaching and trying to get at is, what is the biblical model for us when it comes to guiding, leading, organizing this church? And in that regard, I'm happy to tell you that our church is as close to the biblical model as any church I've ever seen. So let's talk about it, because, you know, we don't talk about deacons much. And, you know, I'm doing this series called Why That? And we thought, man, what a great day to do Why That? Why deacons? And what are they? What do they do? What's this all about? So let's start with this. What is a deacon? Well, a deacon is fundamentally at his core a servant. The word deacon itself is the word servant. In fact, when the word shows up in the New Testament word for deacon in the original Greek language is diakonos. It's where we get deacon. And it's sometimes hard to kind of sort out, because there are times when the word diakonos is translated simply servant, and there are other times when it's translated as the office within the church, the deacon. The word itself means through the dust. Dia means through, and konos was dust. And the idea behind it was that as a guy waited tables, he would walk through the dust and he would serve those tables. So at the core and fundamentally, a deacon is a servant. But that's not all he is. A deacon is also an honored office within the church. You see, at first blush, diakonos, through the dust, almost feels like a put down. Because, you know, while today a waiter is a great job and is an esteemed job, in that day, not so much. And there weren't any tips, you know. You walk through the dust and it's, hey, dust walker, get over here and fill up my own sweet tea, you know. Who wants to do that? And so when you look at this, you go, a servant? Who, me? You got to be kidding. Who wants to be a servant? And how could a servant be honored? But then we remember that in the kingdom, the values are upside down, you know. The first will be last. The greatest will be least. The least will be greatest. the wisdom of this world is the wisdom of the Lord is foolishness to this world and all of that. So when you invert the thing, and if the first is last and a deacon is last and servant of all, then you know what that means? He's first. And there is no greater servant in a church than that of a deacon. Matthew 23:11, but the greatest among you shall be your servant. And you know what? How we sometimes say it's an honor to serve you. Well, in church, it's an honor to be a servant. And so deacon is a place of high honor. And because of that, before you can serve as a deacon, you have to be qualified. I don't know if you guys knew this, but there's a strong vetting process that occurs. Now, look, we don't ask our deacons to be, you know, super spiritual, pious, perfect people. Nobody is that. But we want to be sure that our deacons are godly men who are committed to the purposes of Christ in their life. And it's not about what happened, it's about what's happening. And because of that, we go back to 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 8 through 10, and we look at the qualifications of a deacon. And here they are, deacons likewise. And he says likewise because he's just talked about the qualifications for the pastors. And so he says in the same way, and he's talking about pastors being above reproach, pastors being the kind of people that other people would not have animosity toward, that people would tend to look to and respect. He says, likewise, in the same way, look at this, deacons must be men of dignity. And that word dignity is an unusual word. It means honor. So not only are they to be men of honor within their own character, but they are also men to be honored. Do you see that? Not double-tongued or addicted to much wine or fond of sordid gain, but holding to the mystery of faith with a clear conscience. These men must also first be tested. And we've done that. Let them serve as deacons if they are beyond reproach. Women must likewise be dignified, not malicious gossips, but temperate, faithful in all things. Now look at this, deacons must be husband of only one wife. And we understand that to mean, and the original language there is a one-woman man. To be a husband of only one wife, good managers of their children and of their own household. So the standard for the office of deacon is very high. And because of that, it's a place to be honored within the church. Look at verse 13. For those who have served well as deacons obtained for themselves, circle this, a high standing. And I got to tell you, that's how I view the deacons in our church. I view these men as men of honor, and I give them honor as men of high standing and great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. You know, I fear that sometimes as churches, we don't do this. And listen, deacons don't do it for the honor. I can tell you that right now to a man. They don't do it for the honor. But the office of deacon, there are only two offices in a church. There's the office of pastors and there's the office of deacons. And that office of deacons is an office to be honored. It's something that we really want our very best people at. And I have to tell you that I've met a lot of godly deacons in my life. And as a young minister coming up, those guys have saved me from more trouble than you can imagine. They just kind of pull me aside and say, Bill, don't do that, you know. And when I'd listen to them, things went a lot better. I've met a lot of godly deacons in my life, but let me say this. Until I came here, I had never met a deacon body that was fully committed to living out the purposes of what God called a deacon to do. I mean, it was almost as if I was a paleontologist reading a book about deacons as if they were dinosaur bones. And then suddenly I came to Jurassic Park. And I looked around and there were living, breathing deacons doing what you'd always read that deacons should do. They were serving. Somebody had a need, they'd take care of it. Somebody didn't have electricity in their house, they did what they could to make that happen. I remember one time they were talking at a deacon's meeting, somebody didn't have water and they were running a water hose from the neighbor's house through their window into their house, and the deacons had to make sure they got that fixed. They've built porches on people's houses so that they can get up on them. They've served in a variety of ways. There may be a guy that's about to commit suicide. They leave what they're doing and they go and talk that guy down from the ledge. And in every case, they're serving. And then at the end of their meetings, they would come together for prayer about the big stuff that's going on in the church. They didn't read financial statements. In fact, they're fundamentally opposed to that. They in no way wanted to be involved in those kinds of administrative tasks. They don't want to control anybody. They just want to pray and serve and meet needs. And I thank God for them. Because if you ask me what the secret to North Monroe is, you know what I tell you? It's the deacons. I don't care who you are as a pastor. A church can't accomplish its purpose without committed deacons. It doesn't matter who the pastor. You could have Jesus as the pastor. And there are some churches that still wouldn't be able to grow. And God has validated that. He's taken this church to places none of us ever imagined. And it was because of the willingness, foresight, and vision and service of your deacons. You don't know that. We don't talk about it because they don't draw attention to themselves. But that's what a deacon is. He's a servant, and it's an honored office. So what does a deacon do? Well, obviously he serves. As I've already talked about, that's the primary thing. He serves. But here's something else deacons do that you may not know about. Deacons put out fires. I don't know if y'all have noticed this, but sometimes in churches, things can get confused. Have you noticed? Like a lot of y'all said, we're not having life groups today. And some of you showed up at 8:30. And one person says this, you know, when we were building this building, a lot of people started saying they're going to tear down the Old West Worship Center. I have no idea where that ever came from. And so things can get jumbled up in people's minds and it can become difficult for them to understand. And so the deacon becomes a fireman. That's what they did in the first century. Look at Acts chapter 6. When he started the office of deacon, watch what happens. Now at this time, man, everything's going great guns. The church is exploding in growth. All kinds of great things are happening. Now, at this time, while the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint arose among the Hellenistic Jews against the native Hebrews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily service of food. And so we get our first church fight. They're taking care of the widows. Great thing. But the Greek widows, the Hellenistic widows, felt like they were getting the short end of the stick. So what do? The Holy Spirit says, let's create a new office. Let's don't bog down the pastoral leadership with this. Let's create a new office. And they created the office of deacon. Verse 2. So the 12 summoned the congregation of the disciples and said, it's not desirable for us to neglect the word of God in order to serve tables. Therefore, brethren, select from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of spirit and of wisdom, whom we may put in charge of this task. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word. And out of that, the deacon body was formed. And their purpose was to bring peace to the church, and they did that by serving. Look at verse 5. The statement found approval with the whole congregation. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith, of the Holy Spirit, Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch. People misunderstood, people got upset, and the deacons made it right. Because sometimes this, not in all Baptist churches, certainly not in this, people can get fired up. Have you noticed? And so in our church, deacons are the firemen. They're the firemen in the church. And that's what they do. They put out the fires. But you know, they don't just put out fires. They also lead. Deacons are leaders. They serve, but they lead. Look again at verse 3. It says, whom we may put in charge of this task. They're not just servants, they're servant leaders. And I got to tell you, we don't do anything in this church until we talk to the deacons first. Now look, the deacons aren't a decision-making body. They don't want to do that. But they're a broad cross-section of our whole church. And when we come together making big decisions, I can guarantee you nothing's going to come to you before it goes to them. And we'll sit down and we'll go, hey guys, this is what we're looking at. This is what that team's thinking of. What do you think about this? What do you think about that? We pray about it. We talk about it. We look at it. They massage it a little bit. Look, deacons don't make decisions, but they make our decisions better. And as they do that, they exercise that leadership that's so essential. Because when the deacons function like this, we see powerful progress for the gospel. Go back to Acts chapter 6. Watch what happens. Verse 7. The word of God kept spreading. This is after the deacons put out. Now, you know what they could have done? They could have said, you Hellenistic widows, just get over it. You're being served. Quit whining. They could have ignored it. They could have taken their time away and said, golly, we got to take care of all these widows, and we're going to run from one problem to the next. Or they could have let the deacons do what the deacons do. And when they did that, look what happened. The word of God kept spreading. Number of disciples continued to increase greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were becoming obedient to the faith. Once the deacons got involved, the problems in the church kind of went away, and the church was able to stay healthy. And that's exactly what happens in this church. And you'll never see it, and you probably never know it. But that's what your deacons do. And because of that, they are such an important, integral part of everything that I'm a part of, and everything your pastoral team's a part of, and everything that happens within this body. And I thank God for them. And so every year we select new ones, and some of the new ones we select are some of the old ones. The way our church works is you're on 3 years, you're off a year, you're back on 3 years. But the new deacons we ordain. And so let me give you a word about ordination real quickly so this will make sense. Ordination means simply setting apart. It's an old Testament word. It means to set apart. When Paul and Barnabas were about to go on the mission trip, he said, set apart for me, Paul and Barnabas. And you see it in back in Acts chapter 6. They're setting them apart. So we ordain deacons, and we ordain deacons for life. In other words, once you're ordained a deacon like a pastor, you're ordained forever. You may not serve every year on the church, but you're ordained as a deacon. And that ordination is done through the laying on of hands. Again, Acts chapter 6. And these they brought before the apostles, and after praying, they laid their hands on them. And that's what we're going to do here this morning. We've got 11 deacons we're going to ordain, and we're going to call them forward and their wives. So why don't we do that right now? You guys, go ahead and come forward. Cody Breen and his wife Crystal, Daniel Cassis, his wife Emily. I don't know what y'all are going to do with the kids. Hopefully somebody will grab them. Andrew Copeland and Brittany, Matt and Kelsey, Jeff Fitzgerald and Kim, Jonathan Hawley and Jamie, Essex and Deborah, Wilson Mabry and Tally, Adam Moore, Corey Taylor and wife Deanne, and Steve Traxler Jr. and Audrey. Y'all come forward and sit in these chairs. Do y'all know which chair to take?
No, sir.
Well, then the empty one. It's just like y'all, when y'all come in here, you know which chair is yours? The empty one. We ordain through the laying on of hands. And that ordination has always, historically in churches, been done by those who are themselves ordained. And so in just a minute, when everybody kind of gets to a spot, we're going to call all the ordained people in this congregation forward. You may be ordained as a pastor. You may not be ordained here, but if you are ordained, we invite you to be a part. All the ordained deacons, whether you're serving or not, we invite you to come down. And so would you do that right now? Everybody that's ordained within the body of Christ right here in the church, come down and find somebody, and we want to lay hands on everybody here. For these that have come to serve as deacons within our church, to give their time, to give their talents, to give their resources, their gifts. There will be times where they're called out and they, you know, had something else they wanted to do, but the need arises. And Father, we thank you that they're willing to do what has to be done for your kingdom. I'm grateful that these men that have come forward and their wives, they're already deacons serving, they're already servants in this church, but now they're going to be deacons with the capital D. They're in the office of deacon. And Father, because of that, the enemy is going to take notice, and he's going to want to bring them down. He'll attack them and their families. We're not afraid of him. He's already defeated. He's a roaring lion that's been defeated. And we just pray that you would build that protection around their home so that they're free to do this calling of the deacon. And Father, I pray that you would make them fruitful and that you would expand the boundary of their influence And that when people want to know what it is to be like Jesus, they would look at the deacons of North Monroe and say, those are the guys that I want to grow up and be like. Because they had such a profound influence on my life. We thank you, Father, for your great wisdom. We thank you for creating this office. And Lord, I want to lift up Cody and Daniel and Andrew and Matt and Jeff and Jonathan and Essex and Wilson and Adam and Corey and Steve specifically to your throne right now. Use them. Anoint them. Empower them for your glorious purpose. In Jesus' name, amen.